Well, you can try to say no. I put on pause. Go ahead.
You talk so much.
The identity of Jiva and God, basically. Record what I just spoke. I'll repeat that. So it's mentioned that the Jiva Shakti is called Tattasta. Tatta means border. The border, the middle region. So Krishna has three major Shaktis. He has unlimited Shaktis. In the Shrutis it says, Parasya Shaktir Vavadaya Shriyate Sabhavaki Jnana Balakriya Cha. Krishna has Parasya, so many multivarious unlimited energies, and they're categorized by Bhava, Balakriya, and Sabhaviki Balakriya. Sabhav Balakriya Cha. So we have this breakdown is here of three energies. Chit Shakti means the spiritual world, pure Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti has three divisions. Samvit means I know, and Ladini means I'm happy, I enjoy. And Sandini means I exist. Sat Sandini, I exist, I'm eternal. Then Bahir means this material world, external energy. Then Tata, in between. We're not in the spiritual world, and we're not really in the material world. We're a soul inside a body. We're a spiritual being inside the material world. We're like a drop of consciousness. Jiva is called Chitkana, and Krishna is the ocean of consciousness. We're like a drop of consciousness. It's compared to the vast sunshine, and there are millions of rays of sun. So one ray of sun, a ray of sun is called a kan, Surya kan, or Surya amsh, Surya kan. So Surya kana means a ray of sun. So we're a chit kana, a ray of consciousness. Like Krishna is called Krishna's sun. The vast sunshine is illuminating in all directions, sunlight. So Krishna is this vast, unlimited consciousness, but he's personal. And in all directions, there are spirit souls. So we're in some are in the spiritual world, some are here in the material world. So we're there. So Krishna is compared to the complete spiritual consciousness, and we're like one drop. What is the symptom of life? As a jiva, or so, jiva means a living entity, our symptom of life is consciousness. Every soul has a unique consciousness and a unique relationship with the Supreme Soul, Krishna. There's two different kinds of jivas. Nitya Mukta, Nitya Bada. This is in Madhya Lila, Sanatana Shiksha. Se Vibhinamsha Jiva, Dui Ta Prakar, Eka Nitya Mukta, Eka Nitya Samsara. So one jiva is eternally in the spiritual world. And one jiva is eternally in samsara. Samsara means birth and death. Now these are two categories. And Jiva Goswami, he gives further definition in his Sandarbhas, Paramatma Sandarbha number 47. Tadevam ananta eva jivakyas tatashta shaktiya tatra tasam varga dvayam. Eko varga nadita eva bhagavat unmuka anyas tvanadita. Eva bhagavat paranmuka sabhav sabhavtas tadya jnana bhavat tadya jnana bhavat cha. Translation. Paramatma Sandarbha 4.7. There are unlimited numbers of jivas divided into two classes. One class of jiva is favorable to Krishna from time without a beginning, beginningless time, nitya, nitya mukta. The other types of jiva are against the Lord, averse to the Lord without any beginning. The first class, the nitya muktas, they're favorable to God because they know their relationship with the Lord. And the second class is, let's us, conditioned souls, nitya bhata, we're averse or against the Lord or away from the Lord because of lack of knowledge of a relationship. So we are, since eternal time, conditioned by material nature. So now you can describe that. So the jivas, because Lord Chaitanya said that jiva sarupis tatasya shakti beta beta prakash, means he's jiva is simultaneously one and different from the Lord, from Krishna. We are Krishna's shakti, and he's the controller and possessor and the origin of all the shaktis. We are shakti, and he's shaktiman. Krishna is the whole, the supreme absolute truth, and we are parts, small, tiny parts of Krishna. So the basic, this word sarupa, when we say jivera sarupa, it doesn't mean you're siddhadeya. Some people try to screw that meaning out of it. That's not what Lord Chaitanya is. Sarup in this case means sarup lakshana and tatastha lakshana. Sarup lakshana means the inherent, primary, main characteristic quality of a thing, like sugar. There's the sarup lakshana, the main, primary characteristic, the very swarup, its own form, swarup. What is it? What is intrinsic or inherent in its form? And then there's tatastha lakshana. Sarup lakshana, tatastha. Lakshana means characteristic. Sarup means the main form of characteristic. And tatastha means an additional or the borderline, tatastha lakshana, characteristic. So a secondary characteristic, tatastha, is that sugar is white, usually. And sometimes it can be brown sugar. They have natural sugar, it's brown color. There's white color, brown sugar. And you can get sugar from date rust. It's called palm sugar. Date palm sugar. That's kind of brown, yellow in color. And generally it's white. But no matter what color the sugar is, that may vary or change. But the main inherent, main quality that doesn't change, that's called sarup. The sarup lakshana is that sugar is sweet. I mean, oh, this is sweet. What is it? Oh, this is. It tastes like sugar. The main quality of sugar is the taste of sweetness. So jivera surupaya means sarup means the main quality of the jiva. It doesn't mean his jiva is sarup. He's gopi sarup in the siddhadeya. It's inside. It means the main characteristic, the main quality. That's what Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "This is what is the main quality of the jiva?" Then Lord Chaitanya defined. He says, "Jivera surupaya krishnara nitya das." Every jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna. That's our sambandha, our relationship. God is master. He's eternal. I'm eternal. He's supreme. He's vibhu and I'm anu. He's ananta chit and I am chit. He's unlimited consciousness, chit, ananta chit, and I am chit. So he's vibhu chaitanya, he's unlimited, large vibhu, and I am anu means atomic. So he's the master, I'm the servant. He's the controller, I'm controlled. He's the enjoyer, I'm enjoyed. He's big, I'm small. He's the creator, I'm created. This is God, and there's a difference, see? So the Swablakshana means He is the whole, we are His parts. So this is the main characteristic, the sroop, the main primary characteristic and quality and intrinsic nature of every jiva, every living entity, human, man, woman, animal, is to serve God eternally. But the animals are in ignorance, they don't serve God. The birds are in ignorance, they don't serve God. The humans are in ignorance, they don't serve God. Although when they get knowledge, then they begin to serve God. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, then there's teachers, there's gurus, there's schools to get spiritual knowledge, Paravidya. Oftentimes this verse, most devotees, they don't even know the second line. It's a two-line verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's Madhya Lila chapter 20, verse 108. Everyone says, Jivara Sarupaya Krishnara Nitya Das. No one knows. Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Veda Veda Prakash. So Lord Chaitanya is saying that, what is the jiva? The jiva is Shakti. What kind of Shakti? Tatasta Shakti. And what is the nature of the jiva? The jiva's nature is his nature is to serve Krishna. That's all the verse says. And people say, no, this verse, this means that in this, that's this word sroop means that your siddhadeya, your rasa with Krishna, your stai rati with Krishna, it's in a seed-like form, and your sroop, and your heart. Often this is argued. But it's explained here that all it says is that jiva is energy of the Lord, the jiva is tatasta shakti, and it says two things. The jiva is sroop. The sroop means his nature, his characteristic. He's not his Krishnara Nitya Das, and that he is tatasta shakti, one and different from God. That's all. It says that. Then, so this is the relation. This establishes the relationship of Krishna with the jiva. The jiva is the eternal servant of Krishna. That's all it says. So sometimes when they use this word seed-like or bijam, in our shastras, our Gaudiya shastras, the only time this analogy or comparison of the seed is used when it's talking about bhakti and the bhakti lata. Bhakti lata is an analogy, is a comparison. Bhakti means love or devotion or service to God. It's not a plant. It's not a plant or a tree or a creeper. This is a madhavi lata. And it goes up the wall, goes, you know, everywhere. Madhavi lata. Lata means creeper. Bhakti Lata Bij. So that's another famous verse which is not well understood from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Abhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasari Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So there, Bija, so seed-like form, yes, Bhakti begins in a seed-like form. Who has that seed? Where is that seed? It's not with us because it says, pie, you receive it. From who? From Krishna gives you at a certain time, or Guru. So now, because sometimes they try to say, oh, this verse, Jivara Surupaya, this means that the seed of your siddhadeya and your stai rati, your permanent loving relationship, or your ras, madhur ras, or sakhi ras with Krishna, that's there in your sarup. That is, it's not, nowhere it says that. That's not what the verse says. So the analogy of a seed-like stage is only relation to the bhakti. So now, we are Krishna's eternal servants, but we're in maya since time immemorial. We're ignorant. We're buddha, nitya buddha, nitya samsara jivas. So we have a relationship as part of Krishna. We're his part and parcels. We're supposed to be his eternal servants, but we're not serving Krishna. Why? Because we're in ignorance. You know, we're this, since time immemorial, we're in ignorance, nitya mukta. And then, so we have to get knowledge. And when we get knowledge, we can begin our relationship with Krishna. Sometimes people say, Because our nature, we're nitya, we said there's nitya samsara. There's two kinds of jivas. Jivas in the spiritual world, jivas in the material world. Jivas in the spiritual world are eternally liberated. Jivas in the material world are living in the samsara, birth and death. Birth, death, old age and disease. We're suffering here. Nitya samsara or nitya bada. Bada means bound, locked up, tied up. So now people sometimes say, that's not fair. That's, understand. You know the word, fair?
Fair
means it's not fair. What? Fair, F-A-I-R, fair. Means like it's not equal. Mm. Like I'm in a temple. We both join the same time. But the temple is giving you $1,000 a month. And you're doing kirtan. I'm doing kirtan. But I'm just getting one roti. I'm getting some roti and dhoti. And we're living together. Why do they give you $1,000? I don't get anything. Oh, I don't know how much my good luck. So you'll think it's not fair. It's not equal. We're doing the same thing and you're getting more. So some people say, oh, this is not fair. It's unfair. Why God made jivas? Two classes of jivas. Some are there in the spiritual world. They're enjoying, having a good time, serving Krishna. And some are here. We know the material world is suffering. Birth and death, so much suffering. So why he did like that? What is the answer? So the answer is that it's his sweet will. It's his will, it's his desire, because he's God. Everything is for his pleasure. From the eyes of God, there's no fair or unfair, high or low. This is Krishna's Leela. Krishna's Leela Purushottam, he's Leela Maya. So he creates jivas that are loving him and serving him forever. Then he creates jivas that are forever forgetting him and in Maya. But then he wants their love, he wants their service, so he comes here and preaches. He comes here as avatars. He comes here as gurus. He leaves the shastras, Gita, Bhagavatam, so many shastras and teachings to Uddhava and Arjuna and Prahlad's teachings and so many great teachings. So he's a Leela Maya, so he can do whatever he likes. So that's the idea that the jiva's bondage is eternal. It's just Krishna's will. Not much to do about it. But if we get bhakti and uncover and awaken our, develop our relationship with Krishna by doing bhakti, then gradually by doing bhakti, we can establish our relationship and discover a sthayi rati and an eternal relationship with Krishna. So first, we perform bhakti, then we get ras. Because bhakti becomes bhava, then prema. The level of bhava, then we can experience bhakti ras and then understand our eternal relationship with Krishna. So we have a relationship, we're meant to serve Krishna in love, but we're in ignorance and we have no bhakti. We have to get knowledge and bhakti from someone, either Krishna or Guru. So these verses are very important from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the identity of the jiva. That's us, our relationship with God, and then the whole idea of bhakti, because we're doing bhakti, bhakti yoga, devotion, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam, archanam, mandanam, dasyamat, sakyamatnam, nivedanam. So these are all key verses that we're discussing here to understand the foundation of our sadhana and the foundation of our very devotional lives. So we discussed the Gita verse, which gives the idea of the identity of the jiva. Mamevamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Mana shastrani indrani prakriti stani karshati. That verse is in chapter 15, verse 7 of Bhagavad Gita. That's a key verse about our identity, defining our relationship with Krishna and how we're suffering in this world although we're part and parcel. And then the further understanding of jivas, there's not only one kind of jiva, us, but there's another kind of jiva, the fortunate ones, the nitya liberated ones. So that's a verse from Madhyalila chapter 22, verse 1. Se Vivinamcha Jiva says there's Nitya Mukta and Nitya Samsara Jivas, two categories of Jivas. Sometimes Nitya Samsara is called Nitya Bada. That's the second important verse, famous verse. And then the third important verse that we're discussing, Jiva Tattva, is that we're servants of Krishna and that we're one with God and different, which is like Bhagavad Gita 15.7, and this is it's not Lord Krishna speaking to Arjuna in the Gita about the identity of Jiva. It's Lord Krishna coming as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to speak to Sanatana Goswami with the same basic idea. He's saying, this is a review, Jivera Surupaya Krishnara Nitya Das Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Beta Beta Prakash. So we discussed that verse. Then the next important verse we're going to discuss is about the about prema, which is the goal of bhakti, and then bhakti, the origin of bhakti. There's another very important verse, well-known verse and very important verse, but the translation that we usually see is good, but it's been a little bit is added in the translation English, which is not substantiated in the verse itself, so it gives a little bit of wrong understanding of the verse. So there's some confusion about this verse. It says, Nitya Siddha Krishna, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, about love, pure love of God, Krishna Prem, Prema Pumarta Mahan. Everyone knows that the goal of Krishna consciousness, the goal of human life, is Prema Panchama Purushartha, Panchama Purushartha. The fifth most important objective and need of the human being at all times and every time and certainly at the end is love. No, a life without love is not worth living. A life without love is not worth living. So love is the goal of all endeavor. Man works hard to get money to bring home for his wife and children. Why? For money? Or for food? For love. Because he loves his wife. He loves his children. He works hard. And what does everyone... Because love means... Love brings happiness. Ultimately, we want happiness. And happiness comes from love. The best happiness, the deepest happiness, the most gratifying, fulfilling happiness and joy comes from love, and love is you love someone, loving relationship. So loving God is the goal of life. Dharm, art, kam, moksh, prema. Chatur purushartha, four goals of human existence described in the Vedas. But there's also a fifth goal described in every spiritual literature on the planet. The Quran, the Bible, the Gita, the Quran and the Puran and Quran and the Bible. Everywhere they described the ultimate goal of life is love, prem, love of God. So dharm, art, kam, moksh. Dharm, religiosity, religiousness, morality. Then economic development, wealth, acquisition, material progress, sense gratification, physical satisfaction, art, dharma, art, kam, fulfillment of desires, enjoyment, then moksha, mukti, liberation, going to the eternal nitya dham, sanatan dham. But moreover, the greater, but higher than that is prema. So what is this prema? Where is this prema? How does one attain this prema? This verse is describing nitya siddha, Krishna prema, sadya kabu nai, shravan adi shuddha chitte, karya udhai. The translation most often read in English is this: pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. You don't gain it, or you don't get it from somewhere else. But when the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, the living entity naturally awakens. So this is the most famous translation of this verse, but it's really not quite correct. Because it says that love is established in the heart of the jiva. It's wrong. It's not. And that's not in the Bengali. There's nowhere it says jiva, nowhere it says heart. It says nitya siddha, Krishna prema. Krishna prema is nitya, eternal, and it's siddha, perfect. Sadhya kabunai. It's not a goal that you can attain. Shravanadi, beginning with hearing, shuddha chitte, the consciousness becomes purified. Karaye udai, it rises. Udai means it rises. So here it says it awakens. So this verse is saying that prema is in your heart. Then at the same time, a little later, in the same chapter, it says that Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. That verse is often very, very famous also from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. So this verse, what is being said in that verse? Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavana Jeev. That verse says that says Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Says that the jiva is wandering throughout the universes, then by the mercy of Krishna or Guru, then what happens? Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhakti Lata Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. There's a word, P-A-Y-A, Pai. It's a Bengali verb. It means he receives. Bhakti Lata Bijam. Bijam means seed. Krishna says in Gita, in 14th chapter, Sarva Yona Shukanteya Prabhasmi Murtiya Sambhava. He says, Sarva Yona Shukanteya Murtiya Sambhavantiya Tassam Brahma Mahadyonir. Ham bija prada pita. Ham bija prada pita. He says in Gita, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse 7, Sarva yonishu kanteya murtiya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyonir. Ham bija prada pita. I am the seed-giving father. So God is the father of all living entities. Everyone knows that. God is the father. So this bijam means seed. So this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita is very important. It says, what do you get from the guru? You get the seed of bhakti. Bhakti eventually develops to bhava and prema by proper practice of sadhana and by proper sadhana. So if you receive something, that means you don't have it. So how can one verse say the prema is inside of you? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kavanai. Prema is already inside your heart. You chant and it comes out. The next verse says, you don't have any bhakti. If you don't have any bhakti, how can you have prema, not bhakti? Prema is in your heart, but not bhakti. Bhakti you have to get from guru. So it doesn't make sense. Because That's how that verse is translated. In the CC, in English, the most popular translation is that one receives the seed of bhakti from guru. That's what diksha means. When you meet a Vaishnava, a guru gives you mantra, diksha. He gives, from his heart, he has received the seed of bhakti. He's practicing pure devotion in a sambandha, Krishna sambandha, a relationship of surrender and seva with the Lord. And then he gives that seed of devotion to you. And then you begin practicing devotion. So, how does one verse says you have prema. The other verse says you don't have anything. And you begin with a bijam. You begin with a seed of bhakti. Bhakti lata bij, yes? Bhakti lata bij. That bijam becomes a plant. A bhakti creeper. And then it gets leaves. Then it gets flowers and it gets fruits. And the fruit of the bhakti lata is prema. Prema kapataru. The wish-fulfilling tree or fruit of prema. So what is the verse really? What is the accurate? In other words, here it's saying pure love of God, nitya siddha, Krishna prema, is eternally in the heart of the jivas. But that there's no Bengali that says that. Nowhere in the verse it says eternally established. It talks about Krishna prema. It says nitya siddha and sadhya. It's not a goal to be kabunai. It's not a goal you can just attain. Prema comes down. It just appears when Krishna is pleased. So prema is not in our heart. It's not dormant. But if the heart becomes purified, so then prema may udai, it may rise, it may come and rise in our heart, not awaken. Like the sun doesn't waken, doesn't go to sleep every night. It just disappears from our sight and then it rises. It doesn't awaken. So prema is outside of us. And then it comes inside of us and rises. It rises within us. It means rise. So what's the right translation? Krishna prema is eternal and perfect. Nitya, siddha, Krishna prema. Krishna prema is nitya and siddha, eternally perfect. It is never attained by endeavor. Sadhya, kabu nai. It's not in prema arises in a chitta. Shravan Adi Shuddha Chit Karaye Udai. It arises in the Chitta, which means heart or consciousness, which has become Shuddha, purified by devotional activities like hearing and chanting about Krishna. Shravan Adi Shravan, beginning with Shravan. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So then this next verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He wants to check Indra and stay darshan of Indra. He heard about him. So now, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, also Madhya Leela. Pi. Is there food in there?
Sweet bread.
Oh, bread. Let's put it there near, on the blue thing. That's what he's smelling. So here the Chaitanya Charitamrita is correct translation. Here it's not. So if you accept this one, then you have to reject this one. If you accept this one, the prema is there, then you have to reject this one. Because it says you receive it. So someone raised their hand. Well, how can you receive bhakti from guru if prema is already in your heart? If you already have prema in your heart, why do you need guru? I asked that question. If I already have prema in my heart, and that's the goal, and I just have to hear and chant, and it comes out, I'm my own guru. I don't need any guru. Then they become bewildered. They don't know how to answer. Because they don't want to say the verse is wrong, because translated wrong. So then this verse says that you get bhakti from the guru or Krishna. I think that's a shortcut.
The door is open.
So this bhakti, we get the bhakti, it's not inside of us, we're tattvastha jivas, we're chitkana and tattvastha shakti. We're part of Krishna's tattvastha shakti. We're not his chit shakti. We're not samvit. We're not sandini. We're not ladini. We're tattvastha. We have the eternal nature to serve Krishna. We're eternal. We have the potential to love Krishna and the nature, constitutional identity to serve Krishna. And we're part and parcel of Krishna. So bhakti, what is bhakti? Says, because we get this seed of bhakti, bhakti lata bij, guru prasad or Krishna prasad, we get their mercy, their prasad, then they give us diksha, or they lead us to guru. Even we can get the seed of bhakti from Krishna. Many people have no guru, but they're doing bhakti. She hasn't received diksha, but she chants, and she goes to the temple, she hears class, so she's doing bhakti, but she doesn't have guru. So she's doing bhakti, so that means she has the seed of devotion. Translate. So we're discussing this, how Pai, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai, P-A-Y-A, Pai, Bhakti Lata Bija, we receive. So we receive something as a gift. I received $100. That means that someone gave me. I didn't have it, but he gave it to me. So this is... So this bhakti that we get from Krishna Guru, what is it? This bhakti is transcendental. It's spiritual. It's part of Krishna's chit-shakti. Bhakti is a mixture of two of Krishna's internal potencies, antaranga shakti. Bhakti is samvit shakti and ladini shakti. Samvit means I know, and ladini means happiness. I am happy. So bhakti brings this. Bhakti is made of samvit, knowledge or realization, and ladini, bliss. So the source, the actual ultimate source of bhakti, the greatest bhakti is in the heart of Srimati Radharani. She is the personification of Krishna's internal energy. She's embodiment of ladini, which means bliss, pure love, and the embodiment of samvit is also there. So this is Krishna's... So this power... So how can bhakti already be in the heart of the jiva when the jiva is tattvastha shakti and bhakti is samvit and ladini? Bhakti is made of samvit and ladini shakti, and samvit and ladini shakti are not in the material world. They're not in the jivas. They're Krishna. They're in Krishna's heart, ultimately. Ladini is Radharani, and samvit is Krishna, and sandini Balaram. So it comes down. So the guru gives you bhakti from the spiritual world, or Krishna brings it down and puts it in your heart. In this book, there's some, but they've collected some key verses, and we're in the middle of a discussion about, because in the popular edition of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it presents one verse says Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. What does it say? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. Sadya Kabanai. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karayodai. It says Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem is eternally in the heart of the jiva, prema. But that phrase, eternally in the heart of the jiva, it's in the English translation, in the most popular edition, but it's not in the Bengali. So it creates a problem. Because then a little later in the same Chaitanya Charitamrita, so this verse says prema is inside your heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Siddhi Kavanai. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte. Shravan Adi, by beginning bhakti, by hearing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Shuddha Chit, your consciousness becomes purified, then Udai, it awakens. But Udai doesn't mean awakens, it means rises. Chandra Udai. You read in Hindi, you look in the Hindi Panchang, Chandra Udai, Surya Udai, sunrise. You well know. Sunrise, okay, was you have Paran, Ekadasi, Dwadasi Paran. Surya Udai, Maturame, 6:10, Surya Udai, right? This is Hindi. So Udai doesn't mean the sun awakens, it's sleeping awakens. It rises. So, nitya, so Krishna Prema is Nitya and Siddha. It's eternal and it's perfect. That's what the verse says. Nitya, Siddha, Krishna Prema. Sadhya Kabunai. Kabunai means no. It's not something you get by practice. It just rises in your heart. When your chitta, your consciousness, your heart is pure by bhakti bhajan, then prema, from the heart of Krishna, he sends the prema into your heart and it rises there. Because a little later, Lord Chaitanya is talking about bhakti. What is the origin of bhakti? Why do we need Guru or Krishna? He says, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon. These are very popular verses. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon, Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach. So in this verse, he's saying Pai, P-A-Y-A, and it's in the popular edition in English. It's translated, the Jiva, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon, Bhagyavan Jiva, he receives Pai, he receives Bhakti by the mercy of Krishna or Guru. Like this lady, she has no Guru. She's living in Vrindavan many years. She's doing bhakti. She's chanting. Their wife or whatever they are. And rising early, chanting. Everything bhakti. So who's your guru? How she got bhakti? She has the seed of bhakti she got from Krishna. So she can say, Krishna gave me the seed of bhakti. I'm chanting. So I don't need guru. The Antaryami Chaitya Guru in the heart, he gave me the seed of bhakti, I'm doing everything. No, there's a twist here, because if you, yes, Krishna is your guru, you have bhakti. So you can say, why do I need guru? You're already doing everything before, why do you have guru? But then Krishna says, when you accept Krishna as your guru, and he gave me bhakti, well, part of bhakti is Harikatha, is reading Krishna's Gita, reading Krishna's Bhagavatam, Uddhava Gita, reading Bhagavat Puran. And then when you read Krishna's words and teachings, he says, surrender to Guru. Take Diksha. Chadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya vadakshanti te gyanam gyaninastatvadarshana. Krishna himself is telling Arjuna. And Arjuna is telling right in the second chapter, he says, you're my friend, but I realize unless I become your shishya, I won't get anywhere. Chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita, verse 7. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. He says, shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapanam. Shishyasteham shadimam mam prapanam. He says, shishyasteham. Aham, I am your shishya. Prapanam. Prapanam means sharanagati. I surrender to you. Shishyasteham shadimam mam prapanam. So then please teach me. Then Krishna teaches him. So then we go to Guru. So this verse says, from Guru you get Diksha, you get the seed of bhakti. Bhakti Lata Bij, seed. So one verse says prema is inside of you, in English. Krishna prema is inside. Another verse says you don't even have bhakti. You have to get bhakti from outside. You receive bhakti. So this is called a contradiction. So if you accept that Krishna prema is inside you, which many people preach, then that if that verse is right, then you don't need guru. I have prema in my heart. I read it in this book. So why this later book says I will receive it from Krishna or guru? I already have prema, and it's always been there. It's nitya siddha Krishna prema. You follow. And if you accept the other one, say no, you have to receive it. And two people are reading the same book. No, that's wrong. This verse says you have to receive it from Guru. or Krishna. That verse is wrong. You don't have prem. You don't even have bhakti. You're not initiated. You're in maya. So then they're both fighting over the verses. The problem is because one verse is translated wrong. So this is the confusion in the samaj, many places. So we're just discussing that, and this is just some nice points here. And we'll go back to this verse because if you want to, because we're trying to understand. First, we're discussing about jiva tattva, and the nitya mukta jivas and nitya samsara, vibhinamsha jivas. Lord Chaitanya's teaching Sanatana Goswami. What is jiva tattva? Then what is bhakti? Where is bhakti? What is the definition? And it's a gradual. We're having some discussion because he's initiated, she's not. So now this verse is very important. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon. Wandering throughout the universe. Brahmanda Brahmate, same as Hindi. Brahmate means to wander. Brahmanda, the anda, the egg-shaped universe. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon. Kon Bhagyavan Jeev. Some very fortunate Jeeva. Bhagyavan. He possesses bhagya. Then the key word here is kon. Every single word of Shastra is important. As you know, your Gurudev, Pujyapad Srila Radha Govinda, Swami Maharaj, when he gives his tikas, you know, Hari Sauri's tikas and Sanatana and other tikas, he comments on it, Surdas Bhajans, etc., to give the rasa, the rasa of the verses. He often quotes Surdas when he's discussing Krishna Leela. Surdas Bhajans, Surdas Pad. He takes each word of the verse. Shardudasaye, like Gopi Geet, Shardudasaye. So Sharad, Udasaye. So Sharad means this, and this means this. Like the Ras Leela, chapter 29, verse 1, starts up Bhagavan Api. The first word of the Ras Leela, where Krishna kisses gopis, he embraces them, he pinches them, they have all intimacies of Madhurya Ras, conjugal exchanges, dancing, kissing, everything. But, so, oh, it's a boy and girl, like Indian people say. But Sugadeva Goswami, he starts by saying Bhagavan Api, that this is what I'm going to, this everything I'm going to tell you here in five chapters, Rasa Panchadaya, is about Bhagavan. God, Parameshwara, the Bhoktaram, the Maheshwaram. This is Bhagavan Leela. This is not Jiva Leela. This is not Bhotika. It's not Lokik. Lokik, it's Alokik. Bhagavan means Alokik. God, divine. We have Divya Purush. It's the Divya Leela, Divya Purush Leela. The Leelas of the divine person. So, Kon, what is this word kon? Kon jiva means some. Not everyone gets bhakti. Pai means he or she gets. It's not that it's intrinsic. Bhakti is not inside us. It's not intrinsic. It's not within us. It comes from outside. The verse proves it. It's coming. Prasad. The word prasad. Guru Krishna prasad. Prasadi pai. You receive it. How you get it? Because of prasad. Prasad means it's causeless. It means that we don't deserve it. It's causeless grace. There's nothing we can do to get bhakti. It's like, how does she get bhakti? What does she do? How did you get bhakti? Why are you living in Vrindavan? Why are you chanting? I don't know. It just came in me. She can say, oh, I read this book, or someone told me I should do bhakti. But so this is actually a gift. Bhakti is a gift. And all based on mercy. It's not dependent on our endeavors. But when we receive the gift of bhakti, then we shuddha chitte. Then we purify our consciousness. Shuddha chit. Then when our consciousness is purified, then the bhakti becomes bhav. Then the bhav attracts the heart of Krishna. And Krishna, a prem kana, ray of prema comes in. Settles in our heart from Krishna or his parishads, then we get prema. Then we became We become Premniketan. We become the abode of Prema. So this is a nice point. So maybe somehow by the mercy of Guru we get bhakti. And the soul, the spiritual soul, we have the potential to love. Because our nature, that's our constitutional nature. Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nityadas. Our relationship with Krishna is to serve. So obviously service means love. Devotional service. Loving service. So every relationship, our relationship with Krishna is we're servant. That's our sambandha relationship. So the mother's relationship with her son, the lover's relationship with the lover, husband's relationship with wife, master's relationship with servant. These are all relationships of love, and they're based on service. So every jiva has the potential to love, but now we're loving our body. I love my body. I love my wife. Why? How can we love anyone? Or how can we love anything? I love tennis. I love cricket. How can we so-called love anything unless we have the potential in our heart, the capacity, the jiva's capacity to love? So this is, we get the seed of bhakti, and then we learn, we learn about God and directing that potential to love, we direct it towards God and we try to lovingly serve God. So we get bhakti from someone who has already received bhakti. Bhakti flows down from the spiritual world. So the Madhurya Kandamani describes this bhakti. We'll go back to this other verse. Nityasiddha Krishna Prema Sadyakabonai. About this identity of Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is eternal. It's in the spiritual world. And it's perfect. And it's not inside us. It's way outside us. And that bhakti that we receive is our seed that takes us to that fruit of prema. And that seed of bhakti, bhakti lata bijam, that bhakti is made of samvit shakti and ladini shakti. In one shakti, there's two shaktis. Ladini, bliss, love potency, anand, and then samvit, knowledge, awareness, realization. So this, to receive, that we have this gift, we receive bhakti, but to receive it properly, we have to purify our consciousness by bhakti bhajan, by hearing and chanting and serving Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. So now this verse is commented on a lot, Nityasiddha Krishna Prema. Even this verse is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there's another verse that's quoted by Krishna's Kaviraj. He also describes the nature of this, and he says, Nityasiddha Bhavasya. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. He says, Nityasiddha Bhavasya. That this Nityasiddha Bhav, this is the goal. Nityasiddha Bhavasya. So this is some commentators, this is the verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Nityasiddha Bhakteshu Shuddha Sattva Vishesh Rupataya Sada Varta Manas Yatra Swayam Spuranan Na Kriti Matva Shanka Ata. All this is like that. The pure sattva, which is ever present in the Nityasiddha devotees, manifests itself within the heart of a surrendered, purified soul. So this all these verses are quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That sometimes is when we say Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, they say the Krishna Prem is in the hearts of the Nitya Siddhas. The Nitya Siddhas are the living entities in the spiritual world, the eternal associates, the eternally perfected beings, the Premi Bhaktas in the spiritual world, like Radharani and Lita and all the Acharyas and perfected souls. They're, of course, the Nitya Siddhas are eternally perfect. Then there's sadhana siddhas. So Nitya siddhas means those eternally liberated souls, they have pure love in their hearts. And if they're pleased with us, then they can bestow that in our hearts. So bhakti is from Sarup Shakti, and the jiva is of tatastha shakti. So therefore, since tatastha shakti is a particular type of shakti or power, it has its qualities. Its quality is it's eternal. The shakti, we are eternal. We're a ray or drop of consciousness, chitkana. We're part and parcel of God. And our relationship, our eternal intrinsic identity, our jiva, our sarupam, our intrinsic identity, our nature, characteristic is to serve God. That's it. And we have the potential to love. But Sarup Shakti, Radharani is made of Sarup Shakti. Krishna is made of Sarup Shakti. We're made of Tatastha Shakti. We're Tatastha Shakti Jivas. They're Nitya Siddha. Nitya Siddha made of Sarup Shakti. So that's the main point to understand. Just like in Mayapur, there's a temple called Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. It means the rising moon. Chandra Uday means rising. Like I said in Hindi, Uday means Chandra Surya Uday means sunrise. It doesn't mean awaken. So in this verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Khoraya Udaya. Udaya means it rises. But it's translated as awakens. Awakens means you're sleeping and you wake, right? Waking means awaken. So that means prema is sleeping in your heart and it awakens. Hey, wake up! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna! And wakes up. You do bhakti, shravanadi, you hear and chant, and then, oh! And then prema says, oh, who's making that noise? And wakes up, and then you're all of a sudden you become prema bhakta. That's what one would think when he reads the verse, but that's the wrong meaning. One place, even the temple is called the Rising Moon. Doesn't mean the waking up temple. You understand?
Yes.
Mayapur Chandradaya doesn't mean the moon's waking up. So now we can discuss in the last few minutes. You want? So, and now this is another, these are very deep topics and very important topics. You're recording your telephone, huh? It's working? Trying to speak on the basis of the Shastras and give a clear, rational understanding. You understand what we're saying? What's your question about what we discussed?
No.
Any question?
Why this translation is still present in Chaitanya?
Excuse me? I can't hear you.
Why this translation is still present in the book? I mean, why...
Yeah, the question is, that you're asking is why are translations in the most popular editions in English of the books still being printed when they're not quite correct and they could be changed or edited or improved with new subsequent editions? I don't really have the answer to that question, but generally I'm under the impression that the publishers of the books are operating under the principle that the books should not be changed. Whatever is in the books, they should leave as it is. Although sometimes it's clearly some mistakes are there, and they even admit them, but they feel that maybe they, to respect the tradition that they're representing, they don't feel free to change those translations. For example, in the Nectar of Devotion, it talks about Raghunuga Bhakti, and it describes Raghunuga Bhakti as Ragatmika Bhakti. It uses the term Ragatmika. the phrase should be Raghunuga Bhakti, but the translation in English is Ragatmika Bhakti. But Ragatmika Bhakti is the type of bhakti being performed by the Nitya Siddha Parishads, the eternal associates of Krishna. Their bhakti is full of rag, Ragatmika. Rag Atmika, pure, loving service with intense attachment. In our devotional service, we're Anugata. We are following in their footsteps. Das, Das, Anadas. Or Dasi, Dasi, Anadasi. So that's wrong, and many leaders have seen that, and they explain it correctly when they're giving classes. But I don't think they've changed the books out of respect for the tradition and that they represent. But irregardless, we should clearly understand these are important points of our tattva, of our sambandha tattva, of our relationship with Krishna. And there's no need to argue or debate about why is it like this or why. But when we see clear discrepancies, even in the same book, one place it says bhakti is you receive from outside. It's a gift. Receiving something means you don't have it. I received money. That means you didn't have money and you got it. It's very clear. And then the other one says, translates, but there's at least those are words of the verse. It says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Latabij. So it's a very accurate translation. By the mercy of the Guru, you receive the seed of bhakti. That's clear. Word for word translation. Now, in this Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadyukavanai, that verse is not word to word translation. There's a whole phrase added there. It's eternally situated in the heart. It's not. There's no words for that. And it says Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. It doesn't say anything about in the heart or eternally situated, Nityastan or Riddhi, Nityastan, Riddhi, Riddhi May Nityastan. Nityastan, eternally fixed. It says it's describing the nature. Prema is Nitya and Siddha. Nitya Siddha Prema. Or some commentators, like Mukunda Goswami was a disciple of Krishna's Kaviraj. And he commented on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he said that this Nitya Siddha refers to the nature of prema and also to the origin of prema. Prema is within the Nitya Siddha Bhaktas of the Lord. So another topic that comes up is about the identity of the jiva and the identity of God. Because our philosophy is achintya beta, our Gauranga Mahaprabhu's philosophy is achintya beta abeta tattva. That we are inconceivably achintya, simultaneously one and different. We are one and we're two. We're bade. Bade means different, and abade means no difference. We are two. You are you, and you are me, and we are one. It's you, me, and us. So this seems to be contradictory. You can't be. How can you be one and two? I'm you. I'm me, and you're you, and I'm you, and we're one. So that's our philosophy. So when we talk about God, we say, oh, we often say, this is the idea. God is Satchitanand. Have you heard this? God is Satchitanand. And we are also Satchitanand. The jiva is one in quality with the Lord, but different in quantity. He is Satchitanand, and we are Satchitanand, but he's big Satchitanand, we're little. We are Anu and he's Vibhu. So we want to discuss this idea, because it's often said, you hear, that the jiva is one in quality with God. But if you deeply study our shastras, and all the shastras, you'll find that the concept that the jiva has the same qualities of Krishna is not stated in any shastra. Yes, it's true. The nature of the jiva is Satchitanand. But we have to understand, what is that Satchitanand of the jiva? And what is the Satchitanand and qualities of Krishna and his associates? So Krishna's qualities and the qualities of these eternal associates, they are also Satchitanand, but they are Satchitanand of Antaranga Shakti, internal energy, Chit Shakti. We are Satchitanand of Tattvastha Shakti. So you can't say it's the same even quality. Forget about quantity. The jivas of Tattvastha, so the jivas are a different category of energy. We're energy. Shakti means potency, power, energy. So we are Tattvastha. And Krishna's Swarup or Chit Shakti, spiritual, Antaranga, Chit Shakti. It's a different category. So the attributes to Krishna, the attributes of our form and the qualities and attributes of Krishna's form are different. So you can't say that we're one in quality with Krishna. Krishna is eternal, sat, full of knowledge, awareness, chit, and full of bliss, anand. Because when we say, oh, Krishna is Satchitanand and we're Satchitananda, are we full of bliss? No. Where's your bliss? Are you full of knowledge? No. Are you eternal? Yes. So right away, because we say Krishna is Satchitanand. So sat means eternal, chit means full consciousness, full unlimited knowledge, omniscient, God is omniscient, and anand, that he is blissful. We're never blissful. We're just suffering. We call happiness, our so-called happiness, sukha, is a removal of distress. I'm hungry, I eat, I feel happy. I'm cold, I get warm, I feel happy. I'm agitated for sex, I have sex, I'm happy. Krishna is eternal, sat, full of knowledge and awareness, chit, and full of bliss. So the bliss that's generated from the transcendental substance known as bhakti is called bhakti anand. This bhakti anand is the coming from the ladini aspect of the chit shakti. So Jiva Goswami describes the Lord's, first we want to understand the Lord's qualities, because we're saying, oh, Krishna is Satchitananda and we're Satchitananda. And now we want to prove, okay, if we're one in quality with God, let's understand God's qualities. You understand? Oh, you're Satchitananda. Yeah, I'm Satchitananda. God's Satchitananda. Really? You don't look very blissful. You don't look like you don't seem to know very much. You don't have any knowledge. You don't know anything. What to speak? If you know so much, why do you go to school? Why are you sitting here? Why do we read books? We already know all that. We know the Bhagavad Gita. We know everything. We're such a. We're all knowing. So what is our quality? We know a little. We know nothing. We know that. You don't know how to walk. When you're born, you don't know how to walk. You don't know how to talk. You have to learn how to talk and how to walk and how to eat and how to write. Everyone, yes? When you were born, you came out dancing and walking. No. So Jiva Goswami analyzes the qualities of God. So it's very important to know what is the difference between God and the Jiva. The Lord's bliss or anand has two aspects, according to the Priti Sandarbha. Swarup Anand and Swarup Shakti Anand. Krishna himself is depending on Sarup Shakti Anand. Sarup Shakti Anand Rupa Yadanand Paradina Shri Bhagavan Apiti. This is the Ananda Bhakti. And the Shruti clearly says that in the Shrutis it clearly says that Anand is not the property of the Jiva. And Jiva, where is the bliss? Everyone's looking for, if you're looking for happiness, certainly bliss means happiness. It's the supreme happiness is bliss. But why is everyone looking for it if you already have it? I have $10 million. Why are you looking? What are you doing? I'm looking for money. Well, no, you have $10 million. Oh, I don't know. Where is it? No, you have it, don't you know? You have what? You're one in quality with Bill Gates. You're one in quality with the richest man. Don't you know? You're one in quality with him. He's such a nun. You're such a nun. The Shrutis clearly say that Anand is not the property of the Jiva. Rasu vai saha rasam ivayam labdu anandi bhavati. Describing God. God is verily ras, rasu vai saha. If one attains ras, one becomes blissful. He says here, Rasavai sa rasam yaivayam labdwa. Labdwa. If someone attains that ras, labdwa, anandi bhavati. Bhavati means existence, bhavati. He attains the existence. If you attain labdha, acquire ras, bhakti ras, then you become blissful. So who has bhakti ras? Who's blissful? Oh, Haribol. No. Apart from that, and the Vedanta Sutras, the Acharyas explain that the Jiva is not Anandamaya. In a commentary to the Vedanta Sutra, Avikara Shabdam Neti Chain Na Prachuryat, Baladeva Dibhushan refutes the idea that the word Anandamaya could be applied to the Jiva. And this is the case also in the liberated state. Commenting on the definition of the Jiva as Chit Anand Atmaka, Jiva Goswami explains in Paramatma Sandarbha, the Jiva is not Anand in the proper sense of the world. Because the Jiva is beyond misery, it is said to be of the nature of consciousness and bliss. The Jiva attains, Jiva Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami says in Paramatma Sandarbha, verse 29, the Jiva attains bliss when he attains love of God. So we are Sat, eternal. And if we take up Bhakti, Bhakti is Ladini and Samvit, so then we develop our Chit aspect, because we're Chitkana, so we're Sat Chit. We're this atomic particle of Chit. Then we perform bhakti, then we come to bhav, then prema, then we experience ras, bhakti ras, and then there's bliss, rasavaisa. In ras there's bliss. So in the Priti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami also describes the Ananda and the Jiva. He says, ato nataram jivasya surupananda rupa atyanta shudratvat. He says that the Anand or bliss in the Jiva is extremely minute, tiny, 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 tiny little Anand. But one has to understand this. He says that the Anand, he explains that the Anand in the Jiva means the non-existence of misery. So when we say, yes, Jiva is one in quality with God, such an Anand. But we already described that God is that God that you're comparing yourself to. I'm one with God in quality. He's such an Anand, but his Anand is Ras. He's experiencing the bliss of Sarupanand and Shakti Anand, the bliss of his own Shaktis he's experiencing, and the bliss of his own Sarup, his own form. And it's all Rasa and Prema. So he's experiencing the greatest happiness. And our bliss, according to Jiva, is just the absence of misery. Like I'm cold, and I wear a sweater, and I become hot, I become warm. Oh yeah, I was miserable. I was in misery. Adi atmik klesha, adi bhotika, adi daivika. It was so cold, I became warm, I'm blissful. I was my own body was, I'm so much hungry, and I eat something, oh, now I'm happy. And then people are causing me trouble, now the people are nice to me. Oh, now I'm bliss, now I'm happy. The jiva is eternal, sat, and Krishna is also eternal. So that's where it stops. But as far as knowledge and awareness, chit, the jiva's awareness and knowledge is substantially and significantly different from the knowledge and awareness of God. We jivas, we are aware of our soul, our bodies, and our surroundings. But it is not that we are actually full of knowledge. Our ignorance is beginningless, and we have never been full of knowledge. We sometimes say, no, we're just forgetful. We chant, then we'll become omniscient, we'll become all-knowing, we'll know everything. So then there's some arguments. If we are full of knowledge and bliss, because the jiva is Satchitanand, means he's full of knowledge and full of bliss. So where is your knowledge now? Where is your bliss now? Oh, I lost it. It's covered. Acha. It's not covered. Where is it? It's not there. And how can you cover it? If it's eternal, you're saying that God is Satchitanand. His bliss is eternal. His bliss is eternal. His knowledge is eternal. And he's eternal. And we're one with that. No, yeah, we're one with God. He's eternal. We're eternal. But we don't have any. He has eternal knowledge. We don't have any knowledge. He has eternal bliss, rasa vaisa, and we don't have any bliss. But if we do bhakti, maybe we'll get some knowledge. Maybe we'll get some bliss. It's a fact. If we're full of knowledge and bliss, then why do we never feel it? Why are we always hankering and looking for knowledge and bliss? Actually, everyone's actions in this world are, everyone's doing whatever they're doing, whatever anyone's doing, or any actions anyone's doing, is simply to get these two things. Everyone's trying to get what? Knowledge and bliss, isn't it? Look anywhere around you. Why is anyone doing whatever they do? What is the answer? Yeah. So they work. These guys are across the street. They're building a building. They're working. Because they like to work? No. Because they get money. With money they can take care, experience the happiness of their families, and eat nicely and dress nicely and feel bodily happiness and family happiness. So the goal of their work is happiness. Why are there any schools in the world? Thousands of schools, millions of schools. Are there any books? Millions of them. Why? Does everyone want? What's the internet? No one want. If there's no one, everyone knows everything. Why have internet? Why have Google? You don't have to search anything. You just say, I know everything. So darkness can never cover light. So ignorance can never shroud or cover knowledge. Darkness is nothing but the absence of light. It is not a positive entity. To cover something, the covering agent must have positive existence. When Krishna says that ignorance covers knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, he means the ignorance covers the discriminating faculty of the jiva. In other words, when a person is covered by ignorance, he loses the ability to make proper decisions and is thus bewildered. Krishna himself recommends approaching a teacher and acquiring knowledge from him. Tadvati pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadekshanti te gyanam ganinas tattvadarshana. So Krishna is saying, O jivas, go to the guru, surrender unto him, inquire from him. He's tattvajnani. He has knowledge. He's tattvadarshan. He understands. He's seen the truth. He understands it. He can reveal the truth to you. So go to him. So this is... So Krishna is telling, you don't have knowledge. Why are you saying you're like me? I'm Satchitanand. Why are you saying, we are one in quality of God. God is Satchitanand, I am Satchitanand. But it's not like that. So if knowledge were inside the self, Krishna would have told, why would Krishna recommend that people go to a guru to get the covering of inherent knowledge removed? Indeed, if knowledge is already inside of us, then Krishna wouldn't tell us to go to guru. Just like he'd say, oh, here's an orange. Here's an orange. Inside this orange is juice. So I give you an orange. I say, you have this orange, but if you want juice, you have to go up to that guy and get juice. No. You say, no, I have juice within me. So then I should say, okay, peel the orange and take off the peel and get the juice. So if orange is within you, why doesn't Krishna say, go to a peeler? Just go to someone, someone that can remove your ignorance and you'll find your knowledge. He says, go to the guru and learn from him. Get knowledge from him. You don't have knowledge within you. You see? Krishna's not telling you, oh, you have knowledge. Just sit down and think of me, then that knowledge will spring out. He says, you have to go to the teacher, to the guru. Krishna specifically uses the words in the Gita, the teachers will impart or give knowledge to you. In chapter 4 of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 39, Krishna says that a man of faith who attains knowledge becomes peaceful. That knowledge is already inside of us. You know, chit means knowledge, satchitanand. Then there's no need to attain it. In chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 2, Krishna says, listen, Arjuna, now I will give you knowledge. I will impart to you this knowledge. So everywhere, he's not telling, Arjuna, you're satchitanand, chit, you're full of knowledge. You're full of awareness. You have it all. You just sit and meditate and become peaceful, and then eventually all that knowledge will come out. It's just inside us. It's covered. It's wrong. So how is it possible if I was made of bliss and knowledge and I'm full of knowledge and bliss, then how could I lose my awareness of it? Even if I were covered by ignorance. Ignorance can only cover, but it can't take away that knowledge. Like we say, we are part and parcel of Krishna. So Krishna is Satchitanand, so we're Satchitanand. That's what we're discussing. So that's like saying, well, the drop of the ocean, like a drop of water from the ocean, sometimes they compare the soul to a drop of, right? The soul is compared to a drop of the ocean. So Krishna is the ocean and we're a drop. He's the ocean of consciousness, chit samudra, chit sindhu, and we're a chit kana, a drop of consciousness. But that analogy is faulty, because a drop of the ocean does not have the same qualities as the ocean. So we are a chit kana, we are a ray of consciousness, we are sat, and we have tiny, tiny little bit of anand, as Jiva Goswami says, minute. And we have no knowledge. We have Krishna everywhere says you have to get knowledge. So if we are like a drop of the ocean, you say, well, it does take a drop of the ocean. You take a drop of ocean water. The ocean water is salt. All so much salt water. And one drop is also the same. But it's wrong, because one drop of ocean does not have waves. The ocean has more and different qualities than the drop. So the drop of the ocean does not have all the qualities of the ocean. And similarly, chit kana does not have all the qualities of the Surya chit, the son of Krishna. The ocean has waves, a drop of ocean doesn't. No waves. The ocean is full of fish and sharks. Are there fish and sharks inside a drop? No. You can sail a boat on the ocean. You can't sail a boat on a drop. So if I forget that I'm wearing a necklace, or I forget where I'm wearing my glasses, or where's my glasses, where's my necklace, and somebody points it out to me, then I immediately know, oh yes, here's my glasses, here's my necklace, and I don't search for it. So No matter how many times someone tells me, oh, you're full of knowledge and bliss, you're full of knowledge and bliss, you're full of knowledge and bliss, I don't realize any bliss at all. And I remain ignorant or unknowledgeable as I was before. Why? Because I don't have knowledge and bliss inherently within me. Someone can tell, yes, you're one with God, he's such a nun, he's full of bliss, he's full of knowledge. You're full of bliss and knowledge. So we're just finishing this discussion of Jiva is Satchitananda and God is Satchitananda. In Paramatma Sandarbha, number 28, Jiva Goswami explains that the self is devoid of knowledge, although he's conscious of by nature. And the soul, or Atma, Jiva, is not only without knowledge, but he lacks bliss, although he may be free of any material misery. In other words, there's a difference between being in debt and being free from debt and having $1 million in the bank. If you owe someone money, then you pay the money. Now you have you paid them, so you have no debts, but you have no money. And someone else has millions of dollars. So this having no debt means a lack of misery, but you don't have any money. You owed somebody money, you got somebody, gave it, now you have no debts. You have no money. So we have no misery, but we don't have bliss. We can come to a state of having no misery. In other words, the jiva has the potential to get knowledge and bliss, but not yet the functionality. Here's an example. A child has the potential to become an athlete or a graduate, postgraduate. But that potential is not realized unless he practices on the track or goes to college and studies. So, we have the potential to be blissful. We may attain or receive knowledge by the mercy of God and by practicing bhakti. But it's not inherent, it's not within us. You can't say that 5-year-old, he's an athlete. He has the potential, if he practices and runs, he becomes a great Olympic champion athlete, or he becomes a big scholar, PhD. Potential is there. So Sripad Jiva Goswami says, our happiness is very, very tiny, minute. So there's no way you can compare the happiness of the Tattvastu Shakti Jiva with the happiness within Krishna's Swarup Shakti, which is called Ladini. So where's the oneness of Satchitananda? So the happiness of jivas who don't practice bhakti is simply the absence of misery. So when you're free from misery, oh, I'm happy. Like I already told you, any materialistic person, if he's not miserable, then he feels very happy. Well, I got a bunch of money. I had so many problems and expenses. Now I have a bunch of money. Now I'm very happy. Oh, why are you happy? Oh, I have so much money now. Why are you happy? Oh, I got married. I was so lonely. I was so lonely by myself, and I didn't know how to cook. I couldn't eat properly. I was so lonely. Now I'm so happy. I have a nice friend and my wife, husband, and nice meals. And well, what is this? The misery of hunger and lack of friendship. It's not bliss. It's not Sarupananda. It's not the bliss of your own self or the spiritual bliss that Krishna experiences naturally within himself, Atmaram. So many philosophers say that the goal of life is to avoid misery. But this is the natural state of the jiva. When we're free from maya, then we're happy. That's sattva-gun. Happiness begins there. So simply the so-called anand of the jiva here in the conditioned state is a lack of misery. It's not the anand that's the result of bhakti. Because bhakti is the essence of Krishna's Srup Shakti or Chit Shakti, Ladini and Samvit. So as soon as a jiva starts practicing bhakti and attains the seed of bhakti and starts practicing bhakti, then the Chit Shakti or personal energy of the Lord, the Srup Shakti of Krishna, starts to fill up the heart of the jiva. And the more the jiva progresses in bhakti bhajan, ado sharatata sarusanga bhajana kriya anarta nivriti, anarta nivriti tato nishta tata ruchi asakti bhavan prem. The more he progresses in bhakti, the more that ladani shakti fills up our soul. Because we're doing bhakti, so we're getting, bhakti means ladani and samvit. So the more we do bhakti, the more knowledge we get, transcendental knowledge and awareness of everything, the three modes of nature and this material world and the demigods. And we learn devotees know so much. And the more we become happy and blissful because we're filling up with ladani shakti, which is real bliss, not just no misery. This is the most wonderful mercy of Sri Krishna. Krishna allows us to have an eternal relationship with Him in the five rasas. First, we need to receive the bhakti lata bija. Then we can begin bhakti bhajan. So essentially, the bhakti is not dormant. This is the conclusion. Bhakti is not dormant or inherent within the sarupa of the jiva. And secondly, the second point we're discussing is the Satchitanand of the jiva is categorically and totally different nature than the Satchitanand of Krishna and his eternal associates. Forget about, generally they just say Krishna is Satchitanand. We are Satchitanand. We are one in quality with Krishna but different in quantity. Have you heard this? Yes? But it's not exactly correct. Anand. Special mercy. Vishesh Kripa. So that's the conclusion that Krishna Satchitananda is transcendental ladini shakti bliss. Our Anand is no misery. In our knowledge, we have no knowledge. We're totally in ignorance. We have to learn and acquire knowledge about everything. We're not self-enlightened or self-illusioned. And everywhere Krishna is telling in Gita and Puran, go to the Guru, learn knowledge. Arjuna, I will impart knowledge to you. I have spoken this confidential knowledge to you. Now do you understand the truth? Do you want to hear any more? Do you have any more questions? So everywhere Krishna is speaking, giving knowledge, as acting as Guru, and Arjuna is receiving. Krishna is not telling Arjuna, actually Arjuna, you're full of knowledge. Just sit in the corner and chant Om. And after a few months, you'll become so much knowledge. So this is the basic conclusions that we're discussing. And maybe next time we meet, we'll discuss about the spiritual form of the jiva. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Hare Sham Shri Gurudev Ki Jai Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayati Gurim Yat Kripatam Hamvande Shri Gurundinatam Paramananda Maravam Om Angana Timurandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namah Vanchakaupatrubhyascha kripa sindhubhayavacha titanam pavnebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. Shri Guru Garanga ki jai. Shri Shri Nittai Gaur Sitanath ki jai. Shri Shri Advaita Prabhu ki jai. Shri Sita Devi ki jai. Shri Sadashiva ki jai. Mahavishnu ki jai. Shri Guru Var ki jai. Guru Parampara ki jai. Radha Krishna Ashtasakhi Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Sadgo Swami Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. He Chai Gosai Kori Charanan Vandan Yahoite Bignanash Abhishta Puran, Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Pataraganath Shri Jiva Gopalavata Dasaraganath. By remembering the lotus feet of six Goswamis, then all the difficulties and obstacles and problems in devotion can be solved by their kripa. Hai Gosai Kori Charanan Vandan, by praying to their lotus feet, remembering their lotus feet, Hai Gosai Kori Charanan Vandan, Yaha Hoite Bigna Nash Abhishta Puran, Bigna Nash, all your Bigna, all your difficulties, obstacles, aparads, miseries are Nash, destroyed. And then Abhishta Puran, Abhishta Puran. Puran means Om Purnamidam Purnamidam. Full, complete, realized, attained. Your Abhishta, your cherished desire, your heart's desire will be fulfilled by the mercy of Sri Rupa Goswami Pad, Sri Sanatana Goswami Pad, Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami Pad, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami Pad, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sad Goswamis, and Guru, Sri Guru Gauranga. Sri Guru Gauranga Jayate. Radha Govinda Ki Jai, Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai, Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Sri Vrajadam Ki Jai, Chirasikosh Prikma Vrajmandal Ki Jai, Sri Shamakund Ki Jai, Radha Kund Ki Jai, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shah.